Amen. Well, one question I wanted to ask, and it's something that, you know, we were singing that song, No God Like My God. The question is, how big is your God? And the other thought that kept coming up in my thinking as I was coming up here today was, is it possible, this is a question to all of us, is it possible to have heaven on earth? You know, it sounds good, doesn't it? Boy, that'd be nice. You may be saying, it's like hell on earth for me. But the question is, can we have heaven on earth? We don't have to wait to heaven to get to heaven to have heaven. We can have heaven on earth right now. And we can live as if we have heaven's atmosphere in our life, everything we do. Because heaven right now lives within us, in a sense. The Holy Ghost lives in us. The Jesus' Spirit lives in us. The Godhead lives in us. So we can have heaven on earth. Now, just think about this. When we're talking about walking in the light, the scripture says God is love. And then the scripture also says in 1 John 1:5, God is light. Well, what's heaven full of? Love. It's full of light. So if we have the light of heaven in us, we have heaven in us in a sense. And we can walk, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we can walk in heaven's atmosphere. And we can have heaven's atmosphere in our life, in our home. You know, now are we all there yet? No, but we can pursue that and walk in the light. And we can have heaven's atmosphere in our homes. We can. It is possible. So let's turn to John chapter 8 and verse 12. We've been looking at these few scriptures. And just going to read two, one from the King James and one from the Passion Translation. But the King James, it says, "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So if I walk in the light, if I'm a follower of him, that means I'm a disciple. If you're a disciple, then that means you're a student of his. That means you're a doer of the word. You're not just a hearer thereof. You're somebody who does the word. You act upon it. Doesn't mean you don't miss it. It just means that you're pursuing the things of God and you're acting upon the word of God. If you're a follower of him, this says here, you shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that word, as we said, walking in darkness, that word, that Greek word is peripateo. It just means to live or conduct your life that way. That means you don't exercise things sin. You're not an exerciser. You're not comfortable. And that's what we mean. That, in other words, if you are pursuing the things of God, you may miss it, but what happens? You're not comfortable. I just did something I shouldn't have done. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's your conscience, your heart, your spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. Something's not right. You know, I just don't feel right. I did something. I need to fix this. Right? Well, that means if you're comfortable sinning, then you're walking in darkness. If you're comfortable doing things that are not of God, something's wrong. So the more we operate in the light and walk in the light, we'll miss it less and less, and we'll become more sensitive to him. And so even the little things, you're going to be, I can't do that. I have to ask for forgiveness. I have to walk in the love of God. So it says, we shall not walk in darkness. And the Passion Translation, it says, then Jesus said, I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light. And it goes on and says, and they will never walk in darkness. Boy, I like that. Never. You will never walk in darkness if you embrace what? You embrace him. You embrace, it says, embrace me, will experience life-giving light. So if we walk in the light, we shall not walk in darkness. What does that mean? You're not going to stumble. You walk in the light, that means you're going to have the wisdom of God. You know, it's interesting, you know, when we receive our offerings, you know, there's a Godward side and a manward side. You know, there's a Godward side that he operates and he watches over his word to perform it. But then there's a side that we have a responsibility. But I like when it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it's around verse 10, it said, he that gives seed to the sower also supplies food. He says he also multiplies your seed sown. He multiplies it, and he increases the fruits of your righteousness. So there's a natural multiplication and a spiritual multiplication. Here he's multiplying what I've sown, my money or my time, whatever you're giving, and he's also doing what? Increasing the spiritual side, the fruits of your righteousness. That's pretty good, isn't it? So if we walk in the light, walking in the light is obeying the word. That means that even in our tithes and giving and offerings, if we do, it says it's going to affect our wisdom. It's going to affect the wisdom of God in our lives. And I would also say if you walk in the light, that means you're walking in the Spirit. Sometimes people are saying, oh, you know, they get spooky-minded. No, if you walk in the light, that means you're walking in the love of God. If you walk in the love of God, you're walking in the Spirit. Right? Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has what? Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil knows the power. This is what Minister Joe was referring to. The power of the gospel. The power of seed time and harvest. He understands that. He knows that if we operate these principles, the light of the glorious gospel shines unto us. And he knows that if we operate and share, this is why so often, even today, people come to church, and that's a wonderful thing, but there are millions of people that have never what? Heard the gospel. So what is this said? This says, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I said, that's why God wants us to shine. He wants our lives to be evident of the gospel, so that our lives can be a testimony to the goodness of God. Our lives can be heaven on earth, and people will go, I want that. Whatever you have, I want that. So our lives should be a reflection of Him, the love of God, the light of God. And that's why, you know, when we say, oh, you know, sometimes people get so blessed, but then they forget about who blessed them. Well, the blessing is to be a reflection of Him, that it shines unto. So when we get blessed, don't forget why you're blessed. It's because it's the power of the gospel that blessed us. Amen. So that the people in this earth can understand that it's the goodness of God and the power of the gospel. It's the light of the gospel that shines in unto them. So our lives should be a reflection of that. You know, when you think about this, just turn briefly over to Matthew. I think it's Matthew chapter 5. It's in Luke, but we'll go over to Matthew 5. I'm closest to that. So let's just go over to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 14, 15, and 16. See, this says what? Jesus speaking. This is his sermon, I guess you could say, to the multitudes on the mount. What does he say here? He said, ye are the what? The light of the world. So one point he said, you know, Jesus is the light. Now he's saying to them, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We can choose not to, but he's saying here, let your light so shine before what? Men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it's the goodness of God, it's the light of God that's supposed to shine forth from us, that they can see the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So why aren't people walking in the measure of light that they have? This is what we were sharing the last time. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Now we're familiar with the King James. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I like the Passion Translation. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. Stop imitating the ideals and what? Opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So it's going to be hard to embrace the ideals and opinions of the world and culture and walk in the light, because you're adding to the light that's in you. You know, they call it an admixture. If I add something to something, what does it do? It dilutes it, right? It's not absolute. If it was absolute, that means, or you could say it's absolute cold. There's absolutely no heat in it. There's nothing. It's absolute cold. I forget what they said. It's like minus 400 degrees or something, whatever that is. There's no heat in it. It's absolute. So if there's absolute light in us, there's no darkness, not even a trace of it. So when you begin to add the ideals and opinions of the world into your thinking, into your mind, and it gets down into your heart, it affects the light that shines from you. So we need to think about that. 1 John 1 and 5, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. You can follow along in the King James, but I like the Passion Translation. It says, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him." Wow. "You won't find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin." So when we talk about no evidence, if I walk in the light, as this says here, if I walk in the pure light that surrounds him, there's no evidence of darkness in my life. There's no evidence of darkness or you know, you could say sin in my life. And you might say, well, that's not possible. Well, then you tell Jesus, because he said we can. We can walk in the light. And that means if I'm walking in the light, I have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. What does that mean? You know, you ask the question, why sometimes is there so much division and turmoil in churches? Because they're not walking in the light. Now, I'm not saying we're doing that. I'm just saying if we walk in the light, then there's heaven on earth in a community. There's heaven on earth in a home, because we're all walking in the light. Doesn't mean we don't miss it, but I'm not comfortable. I just did or said something that makes me very uncomfortable, and I need to fix that, and I'm walking in the light, right? And that's what that is. Whether that's in your home, your community, wherever you are, could be a business. If people walked in the light, it is heaven on earth. Because there's no trace, that's what it said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Not just some, it says all sin. So even when, what is it? What do we read in Proverbs 24? It said, the thought of foolishness is sin. So even when a thought of foolishness comes in my mind, I go, nope, can't do that. Because the light exposes the thought. And that's when the scripture says we are to do what? Cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when a thought comes up, let me go say something to somebody or do something to somebody. It may be a thought, but you want to say, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't say that. Because it's a thought, and if it's a thought of foolishness, it's sin. See, it didn't say the act of foolishness. It said the thought of foolishness is sin. So you didn't even act upon it, but you thought it. See? And as far as God's concerned, that's not walking in the light. So what does that also tell you? It tells us that when God said he forgave us and he doesn't remember our sins anymore, he doesn't even have a thought towards you that has darkness in it. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that means when my sins are forgiven, God has no ill thoughts towards me. None. And that also means if he's in me, if he's taken up residence in me, then that means in my heart, in my spirit, is a pure light. There's not even a trace of darkness in my spirit. And I'll tell you why the scripture has to be true. Number one, because it says it. But number two, you wouldn't even begin to get into heaven if there was even a trace of darkness in your spirit. You wouldn't get into heaven. So there has to be pure light, because he's pure light and he's taken up residence in my heart, in my spirit. So when this spirit leaves this body, if it's pure light, it's going right into heaven. Why? Because what is John 3:16? How God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. That's light. So that means I have light in me. Now, what messes that up? This thing up here, intellect. When I begin to embrace the ideals and customs of culture and I begin to think like the world, then I can mess up walking. You say, well, I'm going to go say something. I'm going to go do something. I'm not doing this. Because my feeling, my flesh, your flesh is going to fight you because there's sin in this flesh. It's mortal, and it's going to fight the things of God. And if you don't get your mind renewed and you say, no, we're going to go do that, your flesh is screaming the whole way, nope, we're doing it. I don't care, shut up, we're doing it. And you have to get the soul renewed so that it comes into agreement with your heart. And it shuts down the voice of your flesh. So for us, we have to decide we're going to walk in love. You know, I've shared this story before. I just highlight it. You know, there was a tribe in Africa, in Rwanda, in the late 20s, early 30s. And they were called the Shining Ones. And there was a graduate of Rhema who had this thought. He said, is it possible to have transfiguration? Jesus came as a sinless man. It was God in him, but he did what? He set aside all of his divine privileges, it Philippians says, and he operated as a man. Anointed by the Holy Ghost, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. But he operated as a man, sinless. Well, he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. So this person who graduated, he had this question. Is it possible that there could literally be divine transfiguration in a body on this earth? And he began to search for it, and he came across this tribe in Africa, and he met one of the original persons in that tribe. When he met him, it was late 70s, early 80s, and he was on Sid Roth. I mean, you can look it up, Sid Roth, you know, just do a Google search, Sid Roth, The Shining Ones, and there's a little interview with him. And he said this particular tribe, their skin literally began to shine. And he said what happened was, it was over a period of 10, 15, 20 years that this began to happen. They began to shine. And their skin being very dark, being African, extremely dark, their skin began to shine. And that's how they became known as the Shining Ones. But he said what caused them to shine was that they began to do what? This is what he said. They purposed to walk in fellowship with one another and forgive one another. So they began to operate and walk in the light. And what happened? The light began to shine through them. His glory began to shine through them, just like Jesus. So he said, yeah. He said, it can be. So we can walk in the light, and our very countenance can radiate the glory of God. And that's not some story. That's something that if you purpose and pursue it, that in your house, in your life, your presence can bring the glory of God. And this is something that you have to purpose. It's not just something that happens overnight. He said this is what they did. If they offended somebody, they asked for forgiveness. And they didn't let time lapse. They didn't go, well, I'll deal with that in a couple of days. No, he said they dealt with it right away. And they walked in the light, as he is in the light. And what does it say? They had unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleansed them. Oh my goodness. So the blood of Jesus eradicated, removed any trace of what? Darkness. So they continually walked in the light. Hallelujah. And it's impossible. So let's look at John 15. I wanted to look at this and add a little more to this. John 15, verses 1 through 5. John 15. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So this is, okay, I'm walking in the light, I'm bearing fruit, and it says here that he does what? If you bear fruit, he does what? He purges, he prunes. He reveals things in our lives that need to be corrected. That's pruning. Now you are clean, how? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, abide in the vine, abide in the light, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Or you could say abide in the light. If you're abiding in the vine, you're abiding in his life, you're abiding in the light. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same does what? Brings forth much fruit, and without me, you can do nothing. So that means without abiding in the light, you can't do anything. It means you're powerless. Glory to God. Let's look at Psalm 91. Just going to look at the first few verses here. It says, he that dwelleth where? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If I'm abiding in the light as he is in the light, then what? He said here, if I abide in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the what? The shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth, what? Shall be thy shield and buckler. So his truth is the light of the glorious gospel. So his truth is the light, and that light is my shield and my buckler. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we can see, it is possible to walk in the light. Otherwise, it would have been unjust of God to direct us through Jesus to say, walk in the light. Let your light shine. So he's giving us a direction to walk in the love of God, to walk in the light. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at this briefly. Ephesians chapter 4. Just going to look at these few verses here, starting in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And this, we're talking about the offices of the church. It says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. How are you going to do that? Walking in the light. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we do what? We henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Then verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, every joint supplies. So when it talks about walking in the light, as he is in the light, it says we have unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. So think about this. If this says here that the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh what? Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the what? The vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. See, we're talking about walking in the light. Don't walk as other Gentiles, or you could say, you know, don't walk as the world walks, having your dark, your thinking, your understanding darkened, being alienated from what? The life of God. We're talking about light here. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. So it is possible to walk in the light of God. But when we embrace the thoughts and the attitudes and opinions of the world, it does what? It can cause our understanding to be darkened. And that affects us walking in the light. It affects us having an impact on society, an impact in our homes, an impact with the people that we live with and are surrounded with. You know, people always, you know, I'm thinking about this. You know, people sometimes think, well, you know, the offices in the church, you know, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, you know, the gifts of the Spirit operate in and through them. Yes, that is true. But the gifts of the Spirit are for all of us to operate in. And if you operate in the light of God, you will see the needs of people. God will begin to reveal to each one of us as you interact with people, they need this, go pray for them, go do this, they have this going on in their life. He will begin to reveal to you the needs of people that you interact with to do what? Help them. With the love of God, with the life of God. And so this here, when we get so bogged down with the things of life that we're not hearing God, it can affect us in our interactions and walking with God so that he can speak to us clearly. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." I like this. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, "Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him." Now listen to this. This is what it says in this verse. "Your mission is to live as children flooded with his revelation light." Woo! He's telling us our mission as his children is to live as children flooded with his revelation light. So if we're flooded with his revelation light, that means we'll go into all the world and it says it'll help us discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God will begin to, just like Jesus, begin to operate through us to sense the needs of people. And we'll begin to know what's needed. And we'll begin to know how to touch the lives of people in the way that it'll bring glory to God. But we have to stay in union with him, or as John 15, we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to the vine. And that's our mission, is to walk as children of the light, filled with his light. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that excites me, because when I get up every day, it's, okay, Lord, how do you want to operate through me? That should be our thought for the day. How do you want to operate through me? Maybe he just, you know, if you don't pursue him or seek him, he's not just going to bang your door down, so to speak. You've got to seek him in all that you do. You're opening your heart up to be used, to walk as children of the light. And that is what we go back to when we start talking about no evidence. There's no evidence of darkness in me. No evidence of missing it. And so what does that mean? I have to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I have to walk by faith and not by my feelings or what I see. So I'm going to choose today to get up and walk in love. I'm going to choose to get up and operate primarily in the love of God and be used by God. Now, he may have you go places. You know, it's interesting. God never tells you why he's doing what he's doing. Most times, he'll just say, go do this. And sometimes you go, I don't want to do that. I don't like that person. I don't like these people. You know, he may tell you, go over here and work at this company. And it might be, you might be the only Christian there. And it might be hell on earth for you going into that company. And you're going, why would God send me here? This is awful. I don't like this. But you have no idea the impact and the fragrance that you bring into that. The devil don't want to let go. You are touching life. You're reaching life. I remember when I worked in corporate America, before I left, people said things to me. I thought, man, I never knew they were saying, watching me. But the impact of your life and your presence has impact on people, and you don't even realize it. They're watching and not saying. I remember one time this one person, I mean, I had no idea. You know, in corporate America, or in any setting, you know, cursing with people, that's just what they do. Dogs bark, cats meow, sinners sin. So it's not uncommon for them to just have a foul mouth. And I remember when I left, this one person said to me, he said, you know, something about you. He said, you know, in settings, you may get upset, but we've never heard you curse. And I thought, I wasn't trying not to. That's just the way I am. It didn't come out. I'm a new creature. I couldn't curse. It wasn't there. But they noticed that. And I thought, isn't that interesting? So sometimes the light of the gospel and those things are, your presence can shift the whole presence of a workplace or a home or your friends. Can shift it. And our mission is to what? Walk in the light as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Why? Because the greater one's in us, the greater one. God is light. And darkness cannot overcome light. You know, it's interesting. The Lord prompted me this morning and he was saying something. It's interesting. Let me just do this little thing here. I'll walk over here for a second, right? So I'm going to hit this button, and I'm going to turn the lights off, right? So we turn the lights off. Now, the power is present to heal. The light is present to light. It's present to light. Luke 5, it says, the power of God was present to heal them. The light is in you, present right now. The light is in you. God is in you. If you have accepted him, the light is in you. The light, or we'd say the power, is present to light this room. I could wish it to light. I could want it to light up. I'd say, boy, it sure would be nice to have light. I can go over here and stick a candle. I could come over here and turn my phone on and say, you know what? I know I got this little gadget here. Let me just turn on. I know what I'll do. Let me just turn on the light here and let me just get around and see where I'm going, right? But meanwhile, we've got the power is present to light. But what activates that light? I've got to come over here and I've got to, by faith, I've got to come over here and do what? Activate something. So just the same way, you've got light in you, you've got love in you, you've got joy in you, you've got peace in you already, you've got to do something. You've got to walk in love. You've got to act in love. Didn't say I feel like it. Didn't say I felt joyful. But the more I do what? Activate something. I'm going to operate in joy when I don't feel joyful. I'm going to walk in love when I don't want to, because the flesh doesn't want to. The mind doesn't want to. So we have to do what? Decide to activate what we already have. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what when we go back and look at that, it says the God of this world blinds the minds of those who are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine what? Unto them that what? Believe not. So the light of the glorious gospel will shine out from us when we do what? Act upon it. It'll release it. Glory to God. So just think about that. When you next time you don't want to do something and you get a prompt to do it, do it. You know, God's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. You just don't want to do it. That's really what it is. I don't want to do that. Yeah, but you can. Otherwise, he'd be unjust. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power of the word of God that is in us. And we thank you that there's no demon, no devil in hell that can stop or hinder the light. For light overcomes darkness. And we thank you for it. And it lights our whole being. And we thank you that from our bodies and from our minds and our hearts emanate the light of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hope you get this, because I'll tell you, it's real in me. Have we always measured up? No. We miss it. And what happens is, things that you miss, maybe I don't miss that, but there could be some things in my life that I miss that God knows you shouldn't be doing that. That's not right for you. Everybody understand that? So we can't go, oh, I wonder why so-and-so's doing that. Well, maybe they don't have light in that particular area yet. They're walking on all the light they have. But as you mature and grow, I heard Brother Hagin say this one time. He said, I can't sing those songs anymore. Because he said, I know too much. I have more revelation and light in the Word of God. He said, I can't sing those lyrics anymore. That's not right for me. Everybody understand that? But for somebody else, it's fine for them. But for some, as we grow, there are some things that I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't act that way. I can't be that. I can't say that anymore. It's not right for me. And so we should not judge one another, but if we see something, pray for that brother or sister. Ask. That's why Paul, what did Paul, just think about this. What did Paul do? He saw, let's go over there. Let's, I know we're finished. I'm finished, but I just, since we're flowing here, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Now here, look at all the revelation Paul had received. He said, caught up to the third heaven, heard things that are I can't even speak of. So he had revelation. But what did he do here in chapter 1? When he must have seen things in the church of Ephesus, did he criticize them? No. What did he do? Starting in verse 17 of chapter 1, he said, well, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And he goes on. So what did he do? He prayed for them. He prayed for them that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him so that they would know some things. He'd say so that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And what is the greatness of the power of God to them who believe? So he began to pray for them. So he wanted them to come into that revelation and knowledge that he had and saw. And it's the same for us. As we begin to walk in the light, you know, we're not walking around and say, well, I don't wonder why they're doing that. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong motive. You ought to just pray for folks that they would see and grow to the place that you are, right? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen.